الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم درود شریف پڑھ لیں Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. For the past few weeks now, we have been unraveling to understand the nature and the science of jinns. And alhamdulillah, it's an interesting topic, very, very interesting. It is very, very important that as Muslims, we have enough information regarding the opposition party, which is the jinns. Last week, an account of one Sahabi jinn was given to you, who met a Sahabi, Hazrat Sahal radiallahu ta'ala an, when he was visiting the community of Qawm Aad, and when he saw this beautiful palace carved out from the mountain, he went inside and he performed two rakats, after which he met that Sahabi jinn, whose age was approximately 700 years. And just to continue with the same topic from where we left last week, 2 weeks ago, ulama have written in the kitabs that many qualities are found in the jinns. One quality which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the jinn is that jinns have the power to occupy the body of an individual. They can actually enter into any human beings, anyone, male or female, and take possession of that body. They take charge of that body. But we are not to fear, alhamdulillah, especially for the mothers and sisters listening at home. It's not like driving a car for the jinns. Alhamdulillah, especially the Muslims, as Muslims we are protected by malaika, angels, hafaza, and the angels are protecting us 24 hours. And it's a very rare case, but it does occur, it does happen, that the two collide with each other. And there's a specific reason for that. And that when that collision takes place, that is the time when the jinn goes into that individual and occupies the body. That is why a lot of people have their own experiences, and one can actually witness and hear the original voice of that jinn who is occupying the body. The ruh, the soul is inside the body, but it is temporarily disconnected, and the jinn has taken over. And the jinn is there talking whatever he wants. And when that condition occurs, alhamdulillah, there are ulama, sulaha and amileen who do the work of exorcism and take out the jinns. So this is one characteristic of the jinn. The second quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the jinns is that they even have the power to transform, to take the image of anyone that is sitting here. They can make themselves a carbon copy of anyone that is here. They can actually transform themselves into a human being, duplicating an individual, and everything is exactly like that human being. The voice, the acting, the speaking, everything. And he is a jinn. That is the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Ulama say that the best figure or body which the jinns prefer, maybe it is surprising to a lot of people here, and even for the men and women at home listening, they take the form of a snake, jinns. They adapt to the body of a snake very, very quickly, and they prefer the body of a snake than a human being. Several reasons for that. One is that ulama say that a snake, he can stay without food. He can stay without food. And he can stay without water for months. Months on. That is why when the snake is very, very old, he doesn't need food. Subhanallah. And just by breathing in oxygen, that fills the stomach of the snake up. Just by breathing in. And he doesn't have no desire for water. And if water is in front of him, Subhanallah, he will never retreat until he takes that amount which he needs. So water will only be consumed if water is in front of him, otherwise he has no desire for water. He has no desire for food. And naturally there is this great aversion, fear, when human beings talk about snakes. Azab-e Qabr is there, it's all about scorpions and snakes. Everyone has this fear. When you talk about snakes, you have that fear, naturally. And the third reason is that snakes, in their fitrat, they love fire. That is why if fire is there, they would love to sit in that position where fire is and come close to fire. And that is the fitrat of the jinn. The jinn is also made out of fire, and the snakes even accept fire. That is one connection the jinns have with snakes. And I think the most important reason is the fact that snakes have a very, very long age. Very long age. Ulama have written that a lot of the snakes, their age is up to 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And the skin is very, very strong. If two-thirds of the body has entered a hole inside and just one-third is outside, it is virtually impossible for anyone to pull that snake out. The skin is very, very strong. Very, very strong. And in fact, ulama say that if one was to poke out the eye of a snake, not every snake, generally there are a lot of snakes, that when you poke the eye out, within a few months, the regrowth of that eye takes place. And a latifa is written in the kitab that if a snake is in front of you, if someone was to take his clothes out and become naked in front of that snake, not that we should do that, but if that was the case, then the snake fears the human being. If you take all your clothes out and you are absolutely naked in front of the snake fears you. And he runs away. This is what the ulama have written. Alhamdulillah, the ulama has done extensive study and research regarding all the animals. Hayatul Hayawanul Kubra is just one beautiful kitab of Allama Damiri. And he has touched on virtually every insect, every animal living, and even in the water, in the ocean. Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahab was the Muhtamim of Darul Uloom Devgan, and his experience was quite incredible. He would occasionally at night, he would make gasht and tawaf of, make ziyarah of Darul Uloom Devgan. If brothers have been to Darul Uloom Devgan is very, very big. It's not the Darul Uloom that we imagine, it's like a big city. Different blocks are there, different areas are there. So he would occasionally at night make a visit to make sure that all the children are either studying and lights are off. If lights are not off, then there should be only one reason for that, that the students must be in the room studying. And as he was walking towards one dormitory in Darul Uloom Devgan, this is written in the kitabs, he saw and he heard weird and funny noises coming out from one room. Quietly, being a muhtamim, he lurked towards the door and just peeped through the gap that was in between the two doors, looking at who the students were and why they were making noise, because it was absolutely quiet, everybody was asleep, but noise was coming up from this one particular room. And as Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahib was looking in, what he saw is that two hadith kitabs are open. How many hadith kitabs? Two hadith kitabs. And on top of a pillow, two hadith kitabs, one here and one here. And what he saw is that there were two snakes fighting and quarreling with each other in the dormitory. Two snakes. Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahib understood straight away. Obviously, how could snakes come into the dormitory? He knew straight away that these were jinns. These were jinns taking advantage of the privacy and transforming to the body of a snake. And they were fighting and quarreling upon one masla. And an argument started and they started to fight. Students, young students, but they were snakes, both of them. Maulana Habibur Rahman was there looking at them. And he understood. And just from behind the door he said, "Arey bachcho, ye masti karne ka waqt hai, ya ye kitab parne ka waqt hai?" Straight away, suddenly everything went silent. Everything was quiet. After a few minutes, the door opened. And what did Maulana Habibur Rahman see? Snakes, do you think? What do you think? Two snakes coming in front of him? No. Two students. In human form. Two students there. And Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahib is looking at them, and the two students are looking at Maulana Habibur Rahman. And these two students were actually jinns studying in Darul Uloom Deoband. And Darul Uloom Deoband is notoriously known for that. There is a specific class where jinns come and study hadith. In fact, I know one person who lives in Leicester and when he went to Darul Uloom Deoband, he told me of his experience that one of the muhaddith scholars there took him upstairs and he said that there is a jinn there who is a muhaddith, and who reads and teaches the hadith. So they went upstairs and they knocked, and this person, mashallah, he's still alive, he's old, but he's alive, Allah give him sihat. And he said that, "I saw in front of me a very old man with a hadith kitab, and he was there, and a patla like this was in front of him, and he was reading the hadith kitab. And when we entered, he said to us, 'Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah,' and we even said, 'Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah,' and after that we left. And that man was a muhaddith, and he was a jinn, in Darul Uloom Deoband. So the two students came out and Maulana Habibur Rahman looked at them with anger, and the two students realized that Maulana Habibur Rahman must have seen everything. So with great sincerity and earnesty they said to Shaykh that, "Hazrat, the same scenario will never be witnessed for the second time. Please accept our apology." Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahib looked at the two students and said, "Yes, make sure this doesn't happen again." And the students were there studying, and they study hadith. I've even heard that even in Darul Uloom Bari, once a jinn would come to study there. But wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the truth. But they desire the body of a snake that is there all the time. Frequently, more than the human body, they prefer the snake. Because snake is something that, subhanallah, when a human being looks at the snake, there's this fear straight away in the heart. And one of the most famous accounts we find is in the Seerah Kitabs, when Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making hijrah, and accompanying him was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. Again, even in this hijrah, when the foundation of the Islamic calendar is laid in the migration from Makkah to Mukarramah, his companion is who? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. A strong indication given here to the Ummah also that the lawful successor to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only Siddiq Akbar, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And even in that migration, subhanAllah, when you read the kitabs, the love, the great depth of love which Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq displayed in the time, the period of Hijrat, subhanAllah, it is phenomenal. That is why Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say that if Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq would give me just one day and one night from his life, what Hazrat Umar Farooq is saying, that if Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq gave me from his life one day and one night, I would give him my entire life. And that one night was the period which he spent with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the mountain of Ghar Thawr. During the course of that journey, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took refuge for 3 days approximately in the mountain of Thawr. One is Ghar Hira and one is Ghar Thawr. Ghar Hira is the mountain where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would meditate, and the first revelation, Iqra Bismi Rabbika Alladhi, was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that mountain. Alhamdulillah, brothers must make an effort to go and climb the mountain and to see it. And the second mountain is Ghar Thawr. That mountain is connected with the Hijrah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in that ghar for approximately 3 days. And the love which Siddiq Akbar had for Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they came to the mouth of that ghar in Ghar Thawr, in the mountain of Thawr, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, if you can just stand on one side. And what he did is that he ripped his kurta from one side and he started to clean that entire ghar, that cave, for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making it suitable for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the fundamental difference between Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat and Shiism. Fundamental difference. They say, Ma'azallah, that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is murtad. He has apostated from the religion. Ma'azallah. This is what they say. That is the great difference between Sunniism and Shiism. Alhamdulillah, there are so many books now. People take interest, and if they want to study, all the information is there in the books now. Not in Urdu, but even in English. Siddiq Akbar was there cleaning the ghar, making it suitable. But what he noticed was that even in the ghar, in the interior wall of that ghar, there were many cracks, holes. What he did again was ripped out his kurta again for the second time, furthermore, and started to seal the holes that were there, visible. He did not discard the fact that there is a possibility that poisonous and venomous insects might be dwelling in that hole, in those cracks. He started to seal everything off. And he noticed that Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very tired. It was in the afternoon, intense heat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make kailullah. And there was one hole in particular, a big crack and a deep hole. And he had no more material left to fill the gaps in. Subhanallah, it was very deep. And he said to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, the ghar is clean and you can rest in the ghar now. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying on the floor. Siddiq Akbar saw that to give maximum comfort to Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, what he did is that he said, Ya Rasulullah, instead of putting your auspicious head on the floor, why don't you put your auspicious head on my thigh? Subhanallah, to bole. Subhanallah. Isha ke baad thak gaye kya? Nahi thake. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Siddiq Akbar and he smiled. This was the love which Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had. And he was unique in that journey. Nobody else was there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq for this journey of Hijrah. This was a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was wahi. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was resting and his auspicious head was resting on the thigh of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and he was sitting on his two legs, and he was still not satisfied with the crack, with the hole, deep hole that was in front of him. And what he did was slowly, slowly, without disturbing Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stretched one of his legs straight in front where the crack was, and slowly sealed the mouth of that hole, that crack, with his feet, blocking it. And keeping that balance, making sure that he is not disturbing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all, very, very slowly moving his right leg and putting it straight on the mouth of that hole, that crack that was there, sealing that big crack that was there. And there he was in that position. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was resting. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq did not realize that in that crack, in that hole, there is a gigantic snake which has been doing atikaf in that hole for approximately 650 years. How many years? Atikaf. That is why the snakes, when they get old, they don't need food, they don't need water, they don't need nothing. They can stay without water, they can stay without food. That is the reason why the jinns prefer the snake. Because the fitrat of snake is more compatible, they can homogenize to the body of the snake than anything else. And the snake was there, and they have this powerful system of smelling and senses. And when he could sense heat coming out from the human body and no light, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq's feet was blocking the mouth of that hole, he quickly realized that the time has come. This is the main day. The snake was over anxious and he was struggling to get out. But Siddiq Akbar's legs were cemented strongly there. And subhanAllah, as the snake tried to sort of come out from that hole, he couldn't, because Abu Bakr Siddiq's legs were there. So he started to bite and sting and wound the auspicious feet of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala realized that there is a snake inside. But he did not want to disturb Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. This is how you become Siddiq. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam is resting. They were prepared to sacrifice their life. But Siddiq Akbar did not budge. The snake could not overpower Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Struggling to get out, stinging and wounding Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq's feet, but Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq's feet are there, cemented. The pain was so unbearable that eventually tears came out from the eyes of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And because Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam's Sar Mubarak head was very, very close, the tears fell directly on the cheeks of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is when Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam woke up. And when he woke up, he saw straight away the face of Siddiq Akbar. Aap sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up straight away and quickly realized the matter, that something had bitten Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and poison has entered the body of Siddiq Akbar. The color, the body color was changing, and the greatest tabib, the greatest doctor is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No medicine, no potent, nothing, no antidote is more powerful than the saliva of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Siddiq Akbar is in that condition, and our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quickly understood of the situation. Aa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq's feet, and Aa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his auspicious mouth took out saliva and started to rub on the feet of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. SubhanAllah, imagine the love they had. And in relationship, what were they? What was the relationship between Siddiq Akbar and Hazrat Rasulullah? Father-in-law and son-in-law. Father-in-law? SubhanAllah, what a father-in-law and what a son-in-law. SubhanAllah, what a father-in-law and what a son-in-law. And in this incident, the Quran has said, described Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq as لِصَاحِبِهِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. So in the story of Hijrat, the Quran describes Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq as the companion لِصَاحِبِهِ. That is why the ulama say that anyone who refutes the companionship of Siddiq Akbar, he is a kafir. He is a kafir. Because the Quran has described Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq as Lisahibi. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq instantly was healed. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was healed, and then this enormous, gigantic snake comes out. The head comes out first. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there, Siddiq Akbar is there. And the snake comes out. And what does he say first? Huh? Assalamu alaikum. No. La ilaha illallah. What does he say? La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Making tajdeed of his iman. Making tajdeed, renewing his iman. Making tajdeed of his iman. When he saw that beautiful face, he didn't even look at Siddiq Akbar, he saw directly at the face of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood straight away. As he came out, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I am not a snake, I am a jinn. And I am not an ordinary jinn, I am the companion, the Hawariyin, the Sahabi of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. I am the Sahabi of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. In one gathering where Isa alayhi salatu wassalam was describing of your quality and was giving us the glad tidings that one prophet after me, Khatamun Nabiyyin, will come. At that time the desire to meet you came into my heart, and I said to her, made a request to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, O Prophet of Allah, make dua for me that Allah give me that age where I can meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for me. Allah had accepted his dua. And Isa alayhi salam told me that go in the land of Hijaz, you will find a mountain which is the mountain of Thawr. Take refuge in that mountain, because when the final prophet will come, when he migrates from Makkah to Madinah Munawwara, he will be there and his companion Abu Bakr Siddiq will be there. That is why the Quran says that even in the Tawrat, the companions were described. Masaluhum fit Tawrati. This is what the Quran is saying. Masaluhum. Let alone the description of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the companions were mentioned in the Old Testament. Now you can imagine what is the condition of the Bible today. SubhanAllah. Masaluhum fi Tawrat wa masaluhum fi Injil. The description of Siddiq Akbar was also in the Old Testament, and the description of Siddiq Akbar was also in the New Testament. And he left the company of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, that jinn making his way all the way to the zameen of Hijaz, not very far from Makkah Mukarramah, and taking the form of a snake, he went into that hole and he stayed in that condition for more than 650 years just to meet Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, respected brothers and elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, and alhamdulillah listening to these really breathtaking stories, we should only increase our love and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should try to fulfill every sunnah of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. Inshallah, maybe next week we can continue after Isha, or if the program is after Maghrib, we will let you know, inshallah, it will be written on the board. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just before we make dua, the dars on Wednesday, some very important points were made there, and I feel that brothers must understand everything in that right context. When I say that the two who decide to get married, the bride and the bridegroom, before they get married, they should see each other. That doesn't mean that I'm giving you the license for pre-marital relationship. That is haram. That is haram. Just making sure, Allah Akbar, the shaitan is very, very powerful. So when I say that the two should at least see each other, that is in the company of maharim, when mahram should be there. That doesn't mean that, subhanallah, you can flirt and we can go out 6 months before marriage, 1 month before marriage, and talk freely on the mobile phone. Oh, Kamchi, alrighty, how are you? What are you doing? Can you meet me here? We'll meet in Shires. We'll meet in Shires. Extremely shameful, my brothers. One of the officers who was working, a security guard who works there in the Shires, and he tells me, he came to me and he said that majority of the people that are there are Muslims. Doing nothing, waste of time, troublemakers. A few English people pass by and they want to make trouble. And only when they are 4 and 5, they want to make trouble of one Englishman who is there. And waiting there, prying on girls and women, subhanallah, that is our youngsters today. So it's very, very wrong. You must understand what I said, that, and even when I say arranged marriage, there is no such thing as arranged marriage. When I say arranged marriage, I mean that some parents have this idea that the children have no choice. That the children have no choice. And they have to and have to and have to marry where the father wants them to marry or the mother wants them to marry. That is wrong. I mean, alhamdulillah, it is an arranged marriage in a way. But children at the end have a choice. Children have a choice. When I say there is no such thing as arranged marriage, I mean no such thing as forceful marriage. Now we get this, that people are here, and because we have relations in India and Pakistan, we have some family members pressurizing and forcing the child, no, 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 you have to get married. If you don't get married, I will be naraz of you, and you are not my son, and you are not my daughter. No, that is not the way. Subhanallah, it's a joint issue system where the father and mother play an integral role. The mother and father have the haq, and the child also has a haq. So just for the women that are listening at home, maine jo darse hadith, darse quran mein budh ke roz jo baat kahi thi, wo ye thi ke dono ko dekh lena chahiye jinke beech mein aqd ho raha hai, lekin dekhne ka maana ye nahi hai ke bas dekhte hi rahe aur 4-5 mahine tak rishta qayam kare nikah ke baghair. Ye cheez to haram hai. Hatta ke, respected brothers, that even when someone is getting married, jo aadmi wakil hai ladki ka, jo aadmi wakil hai, who is a representative, he should be the mahram of that girl. Because Islamically it is not jais for a ghair mahram to see the face of that girl. So parda is the main issue that is very, very important. So when I say arranged marriage, I mean forceful marriage. And when I say just to see each other, that means just once or twice in the presence of mahari. Inshallah, I hope I have made that clear. Brothers, every time a Maulana speaks, it is very, very important. It's either me, Maulana Dawood, or any other imam, that you understand Sharia first. Don't take out things which might benefit you. And you, in your heart, you know that this is wrong. So if you have any queries, one must always ask and consult the imam, the alim, who you have heard this from. Jazakallah khair. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min az-zalimin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min rizaka wal-jannah. Wa na'udhu bika min ghadabika wal-nar. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyyatihi wa ahli bayti ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.